You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Slowing it down for all you couples out there. Mike McNamara, joined by Michael. What's your middle name? Christopher?
Yep.
Michael Christopher Musselman.
After two saints.
There you go. Michael Francis. After two saints and one pope. Boom. Exactly. I did not like to, used to like Francis as a middle name. I love that. I love that shit now. Francis, like the Pope, asshole. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but he's not a...
What?
He's not a well-known saint either, like Christopher. Saint Christopher.
He's not even a saint. He's like a fictional character.
Saint Francis.
Of Assisi.
What's he the patron saint of?
Birds. Birds and squirrels and shit like that. Vermin.
What?
Yeah, look it up. I don't know. Hey, look, I'm just telling you. Yeah, St. Christopher didn't even exist. It was a fairy tale. He's a fictional character. Famous, but fictional.
Yep.
Famous, but fictional. Okay, I want to play a couple, audio cuts for you, okay? This is Elizabeth.
Well, wait.
What?
You cut me off before.
Again?
When we went back on my, when you said, you know, that was pretty cool that your sister was listening to the church. I said, my comment was, she's a Gunner fan, of course she's gonna
they are.
Yeah.
No, let me
the old McNamara.
So the oh yeah, my cousin Patty, Gunner for president. The my sister sent me a text message yesterday. And Mike and I were talking about Elizabeth Smart and the other day, and Mike said if you do that, if you take your life, if you go down that road, talking about Elizabeth Smart, he wins. And that is exactly,
yeah.
Those are exactly the words that I used talking to my sister hours after her two kids were murdered. And
if you do anything other than do greatness in your life and do things with your life and change, then he wins.
Right. And she was,
you become, you know,
she
other person.
She was listening too, and so she sent a very nice email to me that I forwarded to Mike. But you know, that's so yeah, very cool. So that's what Mike's talking about. Okay, I want to play a couple of Elizabeth Smart audio clips, and I want you to comment on them. Okay.
All right.
Here's one of them.
I got him to take me back to Utah. I had learned to use his own tricks against him. Manipulation. I forced myself to be likable. I forced myself to keep going when every part of me wanted to give up.
Doesn't hurt me.
And that's how she rescues herself. Pretty amazing. She's almost like the experience of a prisoner of war.
Well, not necessarily.
Okay. How?
She speaks the language of survival.
Right.
So you listen to her talk, you listen to the way she writes. Not once did she ever think of, you know, all her thoughts were always that she was going to get back to her family, that she was going to get through this. She was not going to end up, you know, like the statistics, you know, tell people that, you know, within the first 24 hours or whatever, if they're not recovered, then it's a body search or whatever.
Right.
She was not willing to accept that. So she then turned it where she was in charge, you know, of her own body. She was in charge of her own, of what was going on. She speaks the language of survival. That's not necessarily true with all the other things. So, you know, you and I have talked about this where a guy gets shot. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, oh my God, I'm going to die. What? You know? You know, I had a friend that was a police officer a long time ago. He was a Marine, then went to be a SWAT, and got into the police department, then became a SWAT guy. And he was the lead guy into a room, armed suspect. And he gets shot. just below the body armor into the abdomen area on the side, you know, and not a fatal shot, but it turned out to be a fatal shot. And the last words in his that he was spoken was, "I'm going to die." And then he died. He bled to death. You know, and I think it's that once you give up the will to live, it's a very strong thing. Once you give it up, you're going to die.
Those are tough. So, you and I both know those are tough wounds. That's what that Steve Scalise got, you know, and you get the tumbling action with all the veins in your abdomen. Those are tough wounds. But I understand what you're saying. And that will to live. And I've done so many interviews with guys who, the latest one was, God, what's his name? Guy just ran all the marathons, 30 marathons in 30 days, double amputee, Marine, God, Rob something. I'll remember his name. But after he lost his legs, he immediately seized on, okay, how am I going to do this? And he skipped like I don't want to say the woe is me because I mean, come on, losing your legs. I mean, I would be all about woe is me, but I think that the way that the Marine Corps, you know, you took those guys to Bethesda, they were immediately around other guys that had the same injuries. Those guys were doing things. And he said, like within the first few days of him being there, this rocked up former SEAL, double amputee, rolled in and just rolled up to his bed and said, "Hey man, how you doing?" Like, "I'm all right." But he was, you know, but he was already figuring out. And he said, me meeting that guy and talking to him, and he explained to me how he did it. He said, boom, I was on my way. So it's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing. Again, that's the difference in people. Here's another audio clip from her.
That night, as he did every night the last 9 months, Brian David Mitchell raped me. But it was the last time. I feel like I'm confident in who I am, and I'm happy in my life, and I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a family now, but being involved in child advocacy and seeing change happen and wanting things to change for the better for survivors and victims, and that still is a very big part of my life, because I haven't forgotten what it feels like to be abused, to be hurt, to be taken away from everyone and everything you love.
Pretty amazing woman, yes?
Oh, yeah. Everything about her. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
I'll read you an email. Here's the email. How much does the gunner love himself?
Who's that?
Question mark. And then it goes on to say this. Thank you for sharing the Elizabeth Smart story with the rest of us. I would have never heard it were it not for Mike and your program. I will certainly make sure I watch it. The cool thing is I have teenage kids, and if it's on Lifetime, they'll be able to watch it too. Very, very cool then to have the conversations that we'll have, not only about her kidnapping, but also her story of survival, her story of hope in the darkest and bleakest of times. Well done, boys. Just goes to show, as Max said often, the sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while. Yeah, that's my dad saying, meaning that even jackasses do good things every once in a while. So,
shit. He doesn't know me. The sun is always shining on this dog's ass.
There you go. The sun is always shining. Let me play one more audio clip, and this is at the tail end of this. And you know what? The email makes a good point. this is something that you can watch with your kids, and you can sit down and have a talk, not just about, you know, is your window, you know, appropriately locked at night, but her strength, her hope, and at some day, life is probably going to roll on top of you. And it's not just going to kick you in the stomach once. It's going to kick you in the stomach 6 or 7 times. And the question is, can you keep getting up? Because if you keep getting up, you win. If you lay there, you lose. You know, you got to be tough. Life's not for pussies. Hold on a second. Here's Elizabeth Smart in her own words.
Why did I tell you this story? Those posters on the wall, the children like me, the others who have it worse, the ones who don't come home. I wanted to tell you, as someone who has been through hell, that there still is hope. Find the miracle, hold on to it, and keep going. I'm not cracked. I'm not shattered. I am Elizabeth Smart.
How cool is that, man?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, and you're not going to watch it without getting a tear in your eye either.
No.
Yeah, because she's a stud, and what she goes through is rough. And
think of how great her children are going to be.
No, just how the love that they'll feel.
Oh, my God.
The love that they'll feel.
I mean, I would love to meet her in real life, just to shake her hand. You know, because, like I said, it's not just the abduction that we're talking about. It's dealing with, in this case, post-traumatic, because it's after the fact. It's how she dealt with adversity and how she dealt with, I mean, she crossed paths with pure evil. And, you know, and the difference is she crossed paths and pure evil snatched her right up. Like I said, all of the thousands of millions of different outcomes and the way she comes out, you couldn't even think of a better way. I mean, she gets married, she starts a family, she goes on, she talks, she gives back, she writes books. And I mean, if you go on YouTube and listen to, there's some of her, I don't know if she's on TED Talks, but some of her YouTube, videos where she's talking to groups of victims. And it's just the way she talks. It's such a positive, and you can't feel sorry for yourself when you have to talk to someone like that. If you go in there feeling sorry for yourself, especially with someone like her, when you get done, you're going to feel this small. And I'm making a gesture holding an antenna of an ant.
Mike, but the way she does it, though, is with this incredible warmth, which, and I don't know. You know what I mean? So every time, every video clip that I saw her actual person dealing with the cast, talking to the camera, but she seems, and the things she says all come from this place of incredible warmth and love. And again, we both know people that have been through a lot less, and don't get back to anywhere close to the kind of loving, caring person that she is.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And it seems to be those events that they experience seem to be used as an excuse that's why I can't be like that. And her message is, you can be like that. All right? You can be like
that. Well, she came from a great family, too.
Had to. Rock solid. Yeah. Rock solid family. Yeah. And so she was fortunate in that there was no, you know, Mike and I have talked about why different people react differently. And, you know, when you have cracks in the foundation of who you are, and then you go to war, and a lot of stress is loaded on top of that foundation with cracks in it, all it does is it makes worse what's already there. Right. It's not per se that the experience is in combat. It's that you're a fractured human being, and you were that way before you even got there.
Right.
And then you look at a person like Elizabeth Smart, whose foundation seems to be rock solid. Rock solid. That she, one, that helped her endure what she went through, and two, you know, the other thing, the way her family handled it, I mean, they brought her back into it, and there was no media stuff with her. I mean, they dropped the Iron Curtain on their family. And you didn't see, you know, you saw an occasional picture of her with, I think there's one of her with President Bush. But all private stuff. And so, I think her family handled it very well too, that they didn't do a lot of media and make her a media person. She kind of went back into where she was before. And I think her family gets great credit for that. But wow, what a young woman. Did you watch the interview, General Kelly, with Brett Baird?
No, I saw the aftermath. By the time, you know, when I saw that text, I turned it on, it was already over.
All right.
So, but I watched some of the people going through.
He's great. And again, I said earlier that he's uniquely qualified. Two tours at OLA on Capitol Hill, so he knows those people. He's known Lindsey Graham for 20 years, and he talks about that. Then his time in Southcom, so he knows more about the problems that contribute to our border than anybody on the planet. Combine that with his command experience and the kind of person that he is, you know, John Kelly's uniquely qualified to sit where he sits today. And it's, I think, very interesting. And he's a schmoozer too. He's a smooth dude. And he's a likable guy. He's a funny guy. He's a ball buster kind of guy. And, and so it's very interesting. He has a pretty interesting job right now. But I'll tell you what, if there's a guy who can broker a settlement or at least be a piece of what brokers a settlement, John Kelly's that guy. And, I think he's, very interesting to listen to, both on North Korea. He gets asked, you know, do you think we'll go to Korea, war with North Korea? I hope not. And he said, but look, we kicked the can down the road. There's no more road. You know, we have to deal with this guy. And that guy cannot have a deliverable atomic weapon, you know, in his hands. We can't allow that. So very, very interesting, very, very interesting stuff he has to say. What about, do you think the president giving, the fake news awards, good idea or bad idea?
Right now, bad, really bad idea.
Bad idea. I thought that yesterday too, and then I changed my mind.
No. No, there is no. No.
Yeah.
He didn't do it, did he?
Oh, yeah, he did. Do you think he was not going to do it? He was going to say, you know, my press people have talked to me, and I'm really not going to do that. Do you think that did he? No, but Mike, the stories are so brutal. It's
like, I know they are, but
one of them is NBC News reports or whoever reports. It was NBC, CBS, one of them, ABC, that the First Lady of Poland refused to shake his hand. And they edited the video where she shakes his hand out. And you're like, that is bad. And so to me, the media isn't the Walter Cronkite media anymore. And we should all not forget that.
What becomes of it, Mac?
It's a reminder to the rest of us. That the
We know. You're talking about idiots. You're talking about idiots. Idiots. You know, that look at Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel for their news. You know, you're looking at people that think that Hollywood celebrities, what they have to say on politics, is gospel. And you think that, you know, this will change them? No, it adds fuel to the fire of separation and division.
But I think that you have to burn that down, because I think the media needs to be continually exposed for what it is, and that it is entertainment now. It is not.
Well, you incarcerate them. When they break the law, when they do things, you incarcerate them. You do something that makes them hurt. How do you hurt someone in the news business? You gotta take their money from them.
You take them off the air, you expose them for
being money. Those type of people, money. When you start taking their money away from them, boy, they start paying attention.
So how do we take Well, I will tell you this. I tweeted this, but 23 million people, 23 million fewer people watched the NFL playoffs this year as opposed to last year. Last weekend. That's pretty.
Yeah, but the stadiums are still full. It's not doing anything because Nike's still. Adidas, Nike, Under Armour, they're still paying the athletes for advertisement.
I still think that's a big number. When you lose 23 million viewers, that's a big number, and I don't care who you are. So how do you make my question to you though is, how do you make them pay? How do you make the media pay? And that's why I changed my mind. I saw the list of stories that he highlights.
As a collective group, and you just turn them off.
They're gross, man. They're grossly negligent. In terms of...
Like, okay, what is it, 343 million people in the United States?
I don't know, something like that. 300 and change. Okay, 300
so take away all the children. Yeah, take all the way children and everybody else. Let's say two-thirds. So, you know, it's just for roundabout, let's say 200 million people.
Okay. Adults.
23 million people stopped watching NFL. Well, how many were watching before?
I don't know. I'd have to do some research.
100 million?
No, it had to be more than that.
So there's your percentage.
I want to say it was down... I can't remember. It's down double digits.
So the problem comes into, Mac, is the split. You know, 62 million people voted for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
That means there's 62 million idiots in the United States. Really, there is. If you're telling me that Hillary Clinton is a better person with all of her skeletons in her closet, then you know what? You're an idiot. You know, you are, and out of that 63 million people, let's say half, 30 million people are your extreme left liberal guys.
Okay.
So they're the ones keeping CNN, MSNBC, and all these other people alive. They're the ones watching The View.
The View. Man.
I mean, who goes to The View? Look in the audience. It's women.
Yeah, and your point being?
That 53 million of them are women, most of them. And that's our problem.
Yeah. Okay, so how do you make the media, how do you get into their wallet then?
Yeah, viewership. You gotta get the viewers away from it.
Alright. So my point is, if he doesn't announce his awards, if he doesn't, And I, when I heard about it, I was like, oh man, not another like unforced, you know, shit storm. But you look at the way he's been treated by the media, and General Kelly said it last night, you know, cause Brett Baird asked him about, you know, do you ever discuss his tweeting? And Kelly's standard answer is no. He's the president of the United States. He has a style of communication that got him elected. He believes in it. He believes that he reaches people in Omaha, Wyoming, Peoria, Illinois. By tweeting. And my job is not to get him to stop doing that. That's not why I was hired. So I don't know. The media isn't what we grew up thinking it was. And I don't think that he should let off the gas relative to that, because I do think they're bullshit. You know, and you know, and again, we, you know, the whole fiasco over his health. That is a media-driven bunch
lie.
Of lie. Yeah, it's a media-driven lie that they won't give up because
no.
they
and
can't
then your useful idiots won't let go of it either.
Right.
Because it was on MSNBC. It's true. No matter what you say, you can prove it. You can get a court ruling, and those idiots will still say, no, it's true.
It doesn't matter.
The court was a Republican conservative judge. No, you're an idiot. You are an imbecile. You are what is wrong with the country. The 63 million people, that's what's wrong with this country today.
here's another email. Hey, Mac, I'd be curious to know what the Gunner thinks about Apple bringing all that cash back in the country. That's an awesome deal and a great benefit of the recent tax bill the president signed.
Oh, yeah. And it goes back to the members of my family that are liberal in thinking. You know, when they, at first when they came back and said, oh, this tax bill is going to crush our tax, you know, your money, you're not going to make much money, and this is just a lie, blah, blah. Well, now they found out, oh, I'm making more money. So I tell them, whatever you make extra that Trump did that puts money in your pocket, take that money and give it to a foundation of some sort. All of it. Because it's the principle that you lie on, right? They're very principle-type driven people.
Of course, of course.
But no, they look at me and go, I'm not stupid. Yeah, I know. Okay? Because you have no moral, no virtues. You have nothing. You're hollow. Because if you were truly this person, you were truly what you say you are, then, yeah, you know what? Whatever X money more that I'm going to make because Trump was president, then that money, I'm not going to touch. That's going to be like, you know, that's like drug money. I wouldn't touch that.
Yeah. If you're a principled person, you would do what Mike says.
Hey, give that money away.
Give that money away. You don't believe in it. You think it's wrong. You think it's horrible, right? So that additional money that you
no, they're not, man. No, they're not.
go ahead and give that to charity.
Yeah, bunch of idiots, man. That's all they are.
No, I added up. There's an article in Wall Street Journal that adds up what is believed to be the taxes that the United States will accrue from businesses that seek to bring overseas money back in, and they can do it by paying a one-time 15.5% tax on it. Okay, the tech sector. $104 billion. Healthcare sector, $51 billion. The consumer sector, $33 billion. Industrial manufacturing, $28 billion. Finance, $20 billion. Energy, $13 billion. Add it all up, approximately $250 billion that will accrue to the United States federal government by the adjustment in our tax code. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's a straight up bad thing.
It's crazy.
Mac, I have a question for you. How did the Gunner find the Elizabeth Smart thing? Was he just channel surfing and started watching it? How did he hear about it, Mike?
I look at like what's coming in the next, you know, couple weeks, and I look at different, you know, kind of, because I got DirecTV, so I got that app, and I look at different things that are coming up, and then that was one of them.
Oh, really? So you were just checking out programs, and you saw Elizabeth Smart? I should watch that.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. Who knew? Another email. Hello, Michael. Loved your show today with the interview with General Kelly. Wow, what a smart man. Along with General Mattis, I believe we're in good hands. It is great to have people with backbones. Also, the segment about our borders, economy with money coming back into the country from overseas to help rebuild the republic. As an entrepreneur since the 70s and still doing it at age 70, what our president and staff are doing is the best thing ever, exclamation mark. I and my family have been through lots of hard times, but as entrepreneurs, we always adapt, overcome, and move forward without dwelling on it. Semper Fi, John Wayne B. There you have it.
John Wayne B.
John Wayne B. Very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. It is amazing. Yeah, Apple's going to take an additional $30 billion in capital, and they're going to invest that in the United States over the next 5 years. They're going to create 20,000 jobs to include a new Apple campus someplace, which will initially house technical support for customers, and another $10 billion towards data centers that they will sprinkle around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it will also expand from $1 billion to $5 billion a fund, which it established last year for investing in advanced manufacturing in the United States. And Apple says it doesn't get enough credit for that, that we have people that manufacture for us in the United States that we don't get credit for. And so they're quintupling the amount of money that they've devoted to that. So Apple, and they say, hey, look, bottom line, it's the bottom line. The reason we're doing this is because of the change in tax laws in the United States. So, in response to that, the Dow goes through 26,000. Yeah, that's the other thing, Mike. You need to tell your family members who were adamantly against this that all the increases in their 401k, go ahead and write a check to charity for that too.
Dude, I know. It drives me crazy, man.
Take the Obama era growth and just go sideways with that. That's what you sign up for. And then everything above that, just write a big fat check to the same people that you're writing a check to for the increase in wages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me if you do that. Show me. Be the better person.
Let me think about that. No. Absolutely, positively not. Another email.
They'll spend the money in bits.
Are you kidding? Mac, I have a question about the M27.
Yeah.
I heard Mr. Cosentini, and then in parentheses, I'm sorry, I forgot his rank, last week on your program say that when he picked that weapon up, that this is what an infantry weapon ought to be.
Yeah.
What is so different about it? And why is the Commandant embracing it for all infantry Marines? So, Mike?
I mean, that's...
What is so different about it?
Everything. That's the problem. It's unless you got to pick one up, and here's why. I mean, because the whole it's kind of like what kind of car do you drive, Mac?
I drive a 2010 Nissan Frontier pickup truck.
Okay.
Crew cab.
Have you ever driven like a Mercedes? You know, CLK AMG 55. You know.
No.
Super top of the line, huh?
No.
Okay. They're both vehicles. If you get into a high-end, very high-end, either sports car or luxury car, high-end, and you, as soon as you sit in it, and that seat just kind of forms around your body, and it feels like you're in the most comfortable chair that you could ever be in.
Right.
And the way the car responds to every little touch of the steering wheel and the way it accelerates when you barely touch or the way it brakes, you know, it's just, every way the thing responds to the touch and the feel and everything that you're doing, that's the gun. As soon as you pick it up, you realize, holy crap, this ain't the same gun. This may look like the same gun, but it's not the same gun. Once you start shooting it, you realize this is not the same gun. They may both be in the categories, same category, but man, they are different on the ends of the spectrum as far as performance. It literally is like, if you've ever been in a race car or that type of car, and as soon as you start driving it, you start realizing, wow. Or when you go to, you eat steak at Sizzler, and then all of a sudden you order the same steak at super high-end steakhouse, and then you take the first bite, and you're like, whoa, what was that?
What was that?
You know, it's the same thing. Steak came from the cow. Why is it so different? It's the time and energy and everything that went into it.
So who makes the M27?
H&K, of course, Germans.
The Germans can make a rifle.
Oh, yeah. Think about it. The Germans made the MG42. Why is that so significant? Well, because the MG42 system is still in operational today in just about every good machine gun ever made. The Germans made, you know, the MP44, Sturmgewehr. Why is that important? Oh, because it was the grandfather, it was the birth of all assault rifles that are still being made today. The Panzerschreck? Oh, that's the law. I mean, you know, all of these systems, everything they ever did, you know, look at what they've done. Everything is still in use today. And that was, you know, 80 years ago. So, that's what it is. The HK, man, when you pick up an HK, you know, man, you just feel like, God, this thing was hand-built. It must have been chiseled from metal. So, yeah, it's a crazy... It feels so good when you're shooting it.
The M27 uses the gas piston operating system, which uses a piston to drive the bolt instead of recycling hot, dirty propellant gases to cycle the weapon. The M27 vents them, resulting in a cooler running, cleaner running, if slightly front-heavy rifle. The M27 differs in other ways. The rifle barrel is slightly longer and heavier than the M4, giving the M27 a slight range advantage over the carbine. The thicker M27 barrel can fire longer than the M4 before overheating, but will also disperse heat longer. The M27 is also much lighter, weighing nearly 10 pounds fully loaded versus 22 pounds fully loaded for the M249 squad automatic weapon. This is an appreciable difference during long periods of carrying the weapon. The main difference between the M27 and the M249 squad automatic weapon, however, is accuracy. Interesting. The infantry weapon of choice made by HK. For the yeah. Marine Corps. Interesting. Here's another email. Mac, I have a question about Apple. Maybe you and the gunner can understand it and answer it. And I also have a question or a comment about the media thing. My question is there a statute of limitations for companies bringing money back? How long does this program exist for? Mike, do you know that? I don't.
No, I don't.
Okay, I don't. Next part of it is comment. I agreed with the gunner about the news awards, fake news for the president. Until I heard you guys arguing about it. And then I went to the list because I didn't know it was out either. and I read the list of stories. It's a fucking joke. I've forgotten about many of these stories, but they're out-and-out fabrications or, it looks like, deliberately edited in order to make the president look bad. So I'm a bit torn. I don't like the unforced errors the president makes, but the media is garbage these days. Absolute garbage. And I agree with you, Mac. I believe Brett Baird is probably at the top of the pyramid relative to newsmen, and I believe that's why General Kelly goes on his program and only his program. Enjoy the program. I would join with others, and thank you for turning me on to the Elizabeth Smart thing. I scheduled it to record on my DVR. Looking forward to watching the whole thing. Semper Fidelis, Devil Dogs. I changed my mind too. I was not in favor of the unforced error till I saw the list of stories. And then, you know, he and I kind of think alike in that, don't give them a pass. They don't deserve a pass. They're bullshit. You know, you had Sanjay Gupta yesterday on CNN saying the president's going to have a heart attack. You know, it's like,
yeah, I know.
Has anybody ever been treated like that? It's just crazy. They can't let it go. An hour press conference about his colonoscopy. Will he be sedated? Will there be the transfer of power while he's sedated during his colonoscopy? I mean, that's the kind of shit they talked about. Crazy stuff. So, anyway.
It's stupid, man.
Anyway, all right. What do you got going on today?
Today, not much. Today's just a slow day.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. Do you know your local butcher do you have a butcher store in Granbury that you go to?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you like the guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And how about your temperatures the last couple of days?
It's freaking cold, brother.
Guess what? It was like when it was 21 today in Granbury, Texas, it was 43 in Big Timber, Montana. You were like,
yeah, it was like 14 yesterday.
I know. I saw that. I laughed. Good thing you got that Minnesota training, man. You got your Uggs on. You got your fleece ready. What do you got going?
No, man. I don't wear Uggs. I've never worn Uggs.
Good.
You got Uggs?
No, God, no. That was it.
Luke does.
What?
Luke's got Uggs.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
He does?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Come on.
That kid was born and raised in California, man.
Born and raised in Napa.
I know. That's California.
What does he have Uggs for?
Because he thinks they're in.
Okay, Uggs.
Why does he got little tires on his truck?
Because he didn't think it all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a full size truck, you gotta have big tires.
You gotta have big tires, or else it looks ridiculous. And so,
don't put like car tires on it.
Yeah, he put like little kiddie car tires on it, and then like
ATV wheels.
ATV wheels. And then what he did was he tricked out his rims. And so he came by my house, and I took a picture of him with his new rims, and he got annihilated for it. Why are your tires so small, man?
Yeah.
But the weather back there, I've got to ask him, did you actually see him wearing Uggs?
Yeah, I think I have.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's in Uggs. He's got Uggs.
Yeah, Lucas McConnell from Napa, California wears Uggs. Unbelievable. Uggs are for hockey moms that go and stand in rinks in Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, you know, those kind of places. And they're going to be there for hours. Okay, that's understandable. You can wear Uggs for that. Other than that, wear your shoes. Okay? And if you live anywhere south of that line and Uggs are a fashion statement, please, come on, man. Come on.
Right.
Is there any piece of cold weather gear that you pulled out of the closet for the weather that Texas has had?
No.
No.
Nothing. I don't wear gloves or anything.
You got a good car.
I don't stand out in it. I don't stand out in it either.
You got a good Carhartt jacket?
Yeah, I got a good Carhartt jacket.
And that's essential. That's acceptable. If you're a man and you have a Carhartt jacket, that's acceptable. Okay? That's what right. A man can wear that. Uggs? Come on, man. That's brutal. All right, man. Again, thank you on behalf of everybody for the Elizabeth Smart thing. Awesome.
Yeah, awesome.
All right.
Enjoyed it.
All right, man. I will talk to you later.
All right. Hey, you got to see the movie Rush, though.
I know. It's on my list. Rush. Everybody right. got... Mike, you and I have had this conversation, but tell everybody why they need to watch the movie Rush.
It is an excellent story of two opposite end competitors, both envying each other. And it's amazing that, you know, one guy, like I said, an extreme other end playboy, you know, lives life by the minute. Other person, you know, very meticulous, methodical, calculates every move. But they both envy each other's lives and the way they look at different things. And I think, you know, and there's places where if one could become the other and the other could... And they develop this friendship in Formula One racing. And it's just a great story. Great, well put together. The guy who plays Thor is James... is the British playboy racer. I can't think of his name on the top of my head, but the story really comes together and it really starts really moving you towards the end. And you'll see why when, Niki Lauda, who's the Austrian racer, he's still alive today. He's kind of narrating at the end. And, you know, the one thing he says, you know, is he says, you know, out of all of his friends, he was the most, he looked at him as the closest. And out of every person, the only man he's ever envied in his entire life is, you know, the other guy. And it's kind of moving. It's really, at first, when I first started watching it, I was kind of just on it, stumbled across it. But then when I was watching through it, then I watched it again, you know, and it really kind of, it's got that great story at the end, which just kind of puts everything together. Great movie. But Ron Howard put it together as a director, so.
Yeah, anytime you hear Ron Howard's name.
But Rush. Great movie.
I'm sending the Elizabeth Smart Foundation a request to interview her. You see,
tell her what you do.
No, trust me, I am. It's going to be a request. You know, we talk about post combat related mental health and recovering, The words on the front of her website, it says Elizabeth Smart Foundation, and then she evidently made a video, but it says bringing hope and ending victimization through prevention, recovery, and advocacy. And so, you know, and I think we
make sure if you do talk to her, tell her that I'm the one that puts you on to her.
No, if I talk to her, you have to come. You have to hop on for at least part of the.
Oh, interview. I'll definitely be on.
No, you have to because it's just. But I think I wonder if she's been approached by veterans to talk about.
I don't know.
We need a voice like hers that looks at us and says, "You can do it. Life's worth living. You can overcome that." If I can overcome being raped almost every night for a year. At the age of 14, you can overcome what you saw.
Yes. Amen.
You know what I mean? No, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, man.
That is great. Okay.
I'm on it. Later. That is the one and only Michael Musselman. Michael Christopher Musselman. I don't know how I remember that, but I did. Elizabeth Smart, baller. All right. If you miss this program, Shame on you, man. Where you been? Yeah. It repeats itself momentarily. And what you're going to hear is you're going to hear General Kelly. We'll check some news headlines. And there's a bunch of it, to be honest with you. A lot of stuff going on in the world. A lot of stuff going on in Marineland. And so you'll hear a bunch of it. You'll hear General Kelly's press, his press conference, his interview with Brett Baird yesterday. And it's about 20 minutes. I think you'll enjoy that. You also hear a series of audio cuts. We'll talk about Apple coming back to the United States and what that means. And then Mike joins us. So if you missed it, don't touch that dial. My thanks today to Brett Baird for interviewing John Kelly. My thanks to John Kelly for being the Chief of Staff of the White House. The Gunner for coming on, and most of all, to you for listening. Also yesterday, the United States Congress recognized a great veteran, Bob Dole. Bob Dole is the reason that there's a World War II memorial in Washington, D.C. He is an example to all of us of what service to the nation is. The recipient of two Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star with Combat V. And he and his wife, Elizabeth. We are going to get more involved in telling a story that doesn't often get told, and that is the story of caregivers. And I don't mean... I saw something on a commercial that talked about caregivers and I don't know how to say this delicately, so maybe I should say it bluntly. There's a couple different types of caregivers, in my opinion. There's a line between the two. One is if your spouse loses a leg, two legs, an arm, but they're still there mentally and emotionally, that's one type of caregiver. And then there's the caregiver for spouses that have survived terrible injuries on the battlefield, and the resultant traumatic brain injury has left them diminished. They are not the same person, and that's another category of caregiver. And so I want to talk about that. And the Elizabeth Dole Foundation is all over there. Elizabeth Dole, who has cared for her husband, I want to say they celebrated 40 years of marriage or something like that here recently. So she herself is a United States Senator and a cabinet member, as I want to say, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of Transportation, one of those. So, yes, Bob Dole. Of the United States Army. He was saluted yesterday, was given the highest award that Congress gives out to non-military type people, and that is the Congressional Gold Medal. So congratulations certainly to him. That'll do it on Thursday, All Marine Radio. Next week on Monday, Carl Marlanis is going to join us. We're going to talk to Carl about racism in his experience in Vietnam, on the heels of Martin Luther King's birthday. We've been talking about race and integration in the Marine Corps, so we'll talk to Carl Marlantis about that. He, the recipient of the Navy Cross in Vietnam, also a writer of the bestseller Matterhorn, another book, another bestseller called What It's Like to Go to War, and also featured in the Ken Burns documentary. So we'll also talk, in addition to getting his take on racism as he saw it in the Marine Corps in the 60s in Vietnam. We'll also get his take on the Ken Burns thing, which I've been trying to hook up and get him to come on and talk about. So we'll do both of those things on Monday. Beth Harvey right now on Wednesday is going to join us. She, a former Marine officer, staff judge advocate. We're going to talk about the process that the two commanding officers of the Fitzgerald and the McCain will go through, and then trying to do some mental health stuff on Thursday. And Jeff Zulowitz from Navy Times is going to join us. He's written extensively about the issues that the Navy's had. So we'll get interested to have him on and get his thoughts as he's covered the institution of the Navy and how he thinks it's doing, how he thinks it's doing in terms of its own recovery. So next week, already shaping up. So excited about that. Anyway, have a great afternoon. I already said over and out. So without further ado, this program repeats itself now.